Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello and welcome. I'm Glenn Brooks. It's good having you with us today for our special series on vibrant dogs with Sherry Marquez, Lisa LaRose, Jana Karoff, who's in Hawaii right now. She's back in Hawaii. You know, this, every day you interact with people, there's only two states you could exist. So one is the counterfeit state, your counterfeit state, which you're used to, is your scripted state. And two is your unscripted or your authentic state. Part of the series is inspired by a relationship I have with a dog named Ben, a Rottweiler, that opened up another experience of being in a mystical time-free state. And I met him with a psychiatrist, and I met Sherry, Lisa and Janet, because I felt I wanted to fulfill this mission with someone who in fact was a dog mystic. And I want to welcome to our program and our ongoing featured Vibrant Dogs. So for those of you who have always sensed that your dog carries a medicine for you, you've always sensed that the dog teaches you things, that the dog, in fact, speaks a different language. So it's not so much about imposing commands on the dog. It's really about listening to the dog and paying attention to the intrinsic rhythm that's in the dog and allowing you both to have another whole rhythm in life. Lower your cortisol, become more intelligent at a different level. Welcome to Vibrant Dogs. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome to Janet and Sherry.
Welcome, Sherry.
Hello.
Welcome, Janet.
Hi.
So there you are, Sherry. Aloha. Aloha. So I thought I would start the shows with, so I had Ben a year, and he taught me seven significant lessons. So I thought I would start with a lesson that I learned from Ben. So we all have heard about presence, but a lot of us haven't been able to practice relational presence. So Ben taught me relational presence. So when in the morning he basically would be so in tune with me that before I began my day, he would check in with me. So as soon as I opened my eyes, he was there. And I felt, wow, as human beings, if we learn relational presence, going beyond just our presence and sharing it relationally would transform our lives. So Sherry, I wanted to share that to set the tone for today's show. We're going to talk about being in tune with your dog beyond treats. And I realize in the dog world, everyone's about treats. So I was just watching a video, Janet and Lisa, and I was seeing like everything was really about getting your dog's attention so you could give it a treat. So it's almost like you're in this ongoing, a little bit of manipulation, a little bit of food incentive. So in brilliant mystic dog Sherry said to me, hey, there's something beyond treats. You could actually have that kind of relationship. I was all in. And then we talked about dog food, which is connected. So Sherry, why don't you, first of all, deeply welcome to you. And I'm so happy that we're doing this series and that you're a dog mystic, because I was kind of wondering where you were. So I'm very happy to have met you 7 months ago.
Yes, absolutely. I feel totally blessed to have met you, and I'm excited for this journey and teaching people and just hearing all the stories about all the amazing things that dogs do and the amazing feelings that they bring to our lives. So it's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. And What's beautiful is that people could have a new relationship. You know, there was a pretty famous book, but the basic thing of the book was, is, you know, be in tune with your dog. Don't kill it. Don't put it down. Like, don't punish it. And so this model is so different, you know, than a lot of what's out there. So in relation to treats, I mean, I was with someone recently who was very close to me. It was funny. She said, we were taking a hike with her dog. It was a beautiful dog. And she says, you know, she told me the dog would die. If it just eat unlimited food, it would just eat to death. You know, she said that to me. At the same time, literally, she was giving this dog treats within every 5 minutes. If he looked up at the sky, he got a treat. If he scratched his nose with his paw, he got a treat. So what is the truth from a mystical vantage point, from having this deeper relationship to the dog? So the dog just wants to serve you. The dog has a reverence with you. Someone said to me years ago, imagine if your dog, you were in the woods with your dog and all the other dogs were, you know, people are yelling commands and doing all this impositional stuff and forcing, you know, giving them treats. Imagine if the dog loved you so much it just came to you. They didn't really care that much about the deer. And I thought, yeah, that'd be a relationship. Share with us about having this rapport and being able to reward the dog without treats so you could have this deeper intrinsic connection, this mystical connection that's just wondrous. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, the beautiful thing about the dogs is that they have a sixth sense, so they know everything that's going on. And they're just so willing to please. So when you give the dog, as you said before, when you give the dog a treat for every single thing that they do, they're expecting it. And then if you don't have a treat, they're going to look at you like, yeah, right, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, because a dog's psychology and a child's psychology are almost exactly the same. So if they know they can get away with something, they're going to push it for everything that they can. So, you know, for young puppies or dogs that are, like, really nervous or that are, like, fully treat motivated and they don't know, let's just say you're starting out with the sit command. If they don't know the sit command, then I can lure them with the treat. And, like, you know, it's more or less, and all the training that I do is on the leash. The leash is your tool, so you're in control when the leash is on. When you don't have the leash on, then they know they're in control. So so it's using the leash, and, like, let's just, for example, say for the sit command, you pull up and back towards the dog's tail. So there's a little tiny bit of pressure, and I use collars instead of halters. So there's a little bit of pressure around the dog's neck, with, like, you know, because of the collar. So they somewhat feel it. It's not tight. It's not uncomfortable in any way.
Yes.
And then you are you're putting the treat near their nose and then up. So as they're looking up, it kind of, like, rocks them into the sit. Now, my training style is think it, you always want to think of sit and stay as the same word. So as soon as they sit, you tell them stay. Because if of course, like, you know, teaching them the sit command, that's always a good thing. But, like, sit and stay is definitely a good thing, you know. So. So when you're teaching them certain commands, then you are, you're giving them the praise and the pet and just the excited voice, like, yay, oh my God, you did it. You know, just to reinforce the command that they did. So, I mean, like, you know, it's just by using your tone, it's all about your tone inflections. So just by getting the excitement in your voice and in your body language, then they're feeding off of that and getting so excited because they're getting petted at that moment, and they're just feeling your excitement too, you know. So now treat wise,
so the dog.
Go ahead.
The dog. I'm sorry. Thank you, Sherry. The dog. So the dog is very empathic and reads our energy. So the more we're, you know, we're not just sort of, we're alive to them and really acknowledging them. They could feel that, and that deepens the nourishment and if you will, the treat. But it's more almost like an energetic treat. It's a wonder being with your owner or your dog keeper and really expressing that to them, how appreciative you are.
Right. You're reinforcing the command, but you're also just, like, you're building that connection with the dog, because it's like, okay, yeah, like they're so willing to please, and then all of a sudden, then they feel like they accomplish so much too, because it's like, yes, I did it right, perfect. Now I do give a treat for comfort from a distance. If you're telling the dog to come from a distance, you want them to see the come command as the most important command, no matter what.
Yes.
So when they come to you, they come from a distance, 20 feet away, 30 feet away, however long, and then you have them sit first and then give them the treat. Because if the dog is coming to you and running really, really fast, and then the dog runs right past you, you can't say anything to the dog because the dog did come to you. So if you automatically, teach them, come, sit first, then you get the treat and the praise. So
be specific.
That's
be specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So I want to
come for a distance.
So I was talking to Janet the other day about, because Janet's a world-renowned mime. I actually perform with Janet. So a mime and a dog are very similar to me in the sense that when I was with Ben, and maybe this relates to without a treat, I just think it's interesting, as Ben would set up things socially for me to have tremendous connection with people. Like, he would just show up and people would walk over to me. Talk about, so in relation to the training and without treats, and then I want to go to Janet about the mind connection, is that what I found was it socially changed the whole dynamic with other people. So I know a lot of people have challenges around their training with other people. They feel like other people get in the way of their training. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, they might get interrupted because the dog could get distracted. What would you say about bonding with your dog, no matter what the social interference is potentially, or having the flow of your connection with the dog when there's other people around?
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of the dog training out in public with distractions and using the leash to get their attention back on you. A puppy, of course, is going to get distracted with people or noises or leaves blowing or, and there's so many different distractions. But just by having the leash to, to redirect their focus to you instead of what's going on, then that's the beauty of it. I mean, using the leash, using your body language, using the movements instead of dangling a treat in front of their nose and here, look at the treat and focus on me, I mean, every trainer has their own way, and I'm not saying that a clicker and treat training doesn't work for some people. And, just the way that I train is I don't need to dangle a treat in front of their nose to redirect them from paying attention to other people or from, being aggressive, even being reactive to other dogs. Yeah.
Do me a favor. I want you to give out your website, because we're going to go to a brief pause in a moment. So go out and give out your website. If you guys want to email or be in touch with Sherry, our in-resident dog mystic educator, and we also have some upcoming classes and things, so be in touch with her. We're going to take a brief pause, and we'll get to hear from Lisa and Janet. We'll talk about the social dynamics. What are the social dynamics of you and your dog? What are those?
So I'm curious to... My website.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sherry. Yes.
Smart. My website is smartpawsdogtraining.com. So smartpawsdogtraining.com.
All right. I think let me just see something here. Let me just look at my. Lisa, go ahead. What's bubbling for you? What strikes you during this segment about the no treat, about going without treats and training the dog? Or educating the dog, tuning into the dog in this way.
Well, as I'm listening to Sherry, I'm thinking about the voice inflection. People tease me all the time that I have a dog voice, and you know, or an animal voice, and I don't know if it was just something that I did instinctively, but you know, I appreciate the affirmation that I'm not a crazy person. That I actually knew what I was doing when I speak to my dogs in a different voice. But I do believe that, you know, they feel the energy, and that they feel like the harmonic or the vibration, and that they know. Just hearing that excitement in your voice, they do. That really sometimes is reward enough. Oftentimes people are surprised with my dogs because they're not treat motivated at all. Mm. Somebody will bring some, you know, oh, my dogs absolutely love this treat. My dogs look at it and, you know, kind of walk away. But I do have a question for you, Sherry, because I have a dog that is play motivated. You know, she wants the ball. I mean, she doesn't care about any treat, but you know, as soon as she sees you step towards the door, she thinks you're going to go play ball. Would you have any suggestions as to a way that I could kind of allow her to know when it's the appropriate time for play versus all the time?
Well, I mean, and like when you get to the door, is she like trying to grab the leash? Is she jumping? Is she like what's her normal reaction?
She sees me go down to the kitchen or anywhere that I'm approaching, like the back door, she's immediately like, you know, overexcited, wants to go. And, you know, she just, you know, if there's a ball in the house, she'll grab it in her mouth and she'll just, you know, sit by the door and want to go out and play.
Sounds like me.
Well, I mean,
we're going to cover, Sherry, we're going to cover that. We're just going to take a brief pause. We'll hear from Janet. I met Janet in the Remarkable, and she's also one of our, very much a part of Vibrant Speakers, and actually works with people in the invisible, and so do dogs, actually. We'll continue with Lisa's question about play motivation and how to make this deeper connection with your vibrant dog in one moment. I'm Glenn Brooks for the Vibrant Living Network. Your life's precious. Enjoy it.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head-on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Radio Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. And if you're ready to go beyond your script into an authentic, alive, intuitive relationship with life and your dog, you're listening to Vibrant Dogs. And Janet, I want you to comment in a moment. So, just before we went to the break, Lisa was asking the question about the dog that wants, is play motivated? Sherry.
All right. So of course you can't stop the dog from reacting like every single time that you go to the back door. But, if you can. Now, does the dog know, like, drop it? with the ball? Drop yes. it, leave it?
Yes, she okay. does.
So if that's, if you're able to, like, stop her before she runs away to go grab the ball, you know, that it's more or less like you're walking to, and then maybe like once you get to a certain spot in the kitchen or to the back door, then you kind of like just grab her collar and put her on a sit stay, and you know, just so she's actually just like staying in that spot instead of like running to you and running towards the back door. If there's, because you know, because of all the dogs that you have and all the energy that's around, if it's really hard, then it's more or less allowing her to get that excitement and then go grab the ball, bring it to you, and then drop it, leave it alone, and you grab the ball, and then maybe like, you know, put her on a sit stay and sit stay, because like the main thing with the commands is it's more or less just you can give her a few commands. So sit, okay. stay, leave it. You know, okay. just so she leaves it alone, and like, and then if she gets up, nope, sit, stay, leave it.
Okay.
You know, just so you're allowing her to be excited, but not to the point where it's like she has the ball and she's running in front of you and like, come on, I just want to play. Oh my gosh, this is my time.
Yeah. So it's well, I just want giving to share. With you that, Cher, you definitely are a dog mystic, because she came up the stairs. She just looked at me with a big smile on her face. And then she went and she sat down. So I think she was actually, even though she can't hear the conversation, I think intuitively she's tuning into you. So thank you very much.
That's so cool. That's great.
So I interact with dogs pretty much every day. So Janet and I have had this relationship, and I call it the invisible. We kind of met in a way where Janet said to me, I speak in the language of mine, which actually transformed my life, because I realized that it was another acknowledgement of an existing language that was sort of not paid attention to. So when I think about dogs, the recognition that they have another language, and we could tap into it, which is what I love about what Cherry's doing. Janet, you're on the scene. The on-the-scene, you know, mime and bridger of realities, if you will. What's bubbling for you as you hear about dogs as it relates to your wonderful work?
Well, it's so wonderful to hear how you're talking, Cherry, and sharing how to kind of merge the controlling and the physical with the intangible and the emotional connection and the communication between, and it's kind of, I don't happen to have a dog. I love dogs though. Mm-hmm. But it relates exactly to your own consciousness and your own awareness. So we have to have like an invisible leash, it seems, as well, not to have it run rampant, and to, it's really beautiful how you, to look at the, you know, training the dog as in the same way as even expressing yourself, because it's basically the dog is training you in a way.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's that connection, that bond, you know.
Yeah.
Where you're training each other.
Yeah.
Understanding
exactly.
each other.
I love that.
Yeah. So basically, when you're over treating them, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm controlling it so much that you're out of control, really, and it's all about this treat. So,
yes, yes.
You know, not that the treat is not a good thing, and not that the leash is not a good thing. It's all the physical I'm hearing is so, like, you know, merged with each other's. And the dog seems like just a ball of compassion. And so you're dealing with how to expand the, live in complete compassion and love with yourself as well as the dog and in the physical realm and managing it and controlling, as you say, with the leash and the thing. So that word control, is like a divine connection control of finding
the
alignment.
Me too,
yeah,
me too.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, and using the tree is also that as well when it's balanced. And that's what it seems like you're doing more. You're listening. The dog is actually listening to you much deeper and hears. I have had dogs in the past, and you know, we would just connect in the morning, like you said, Glenn. You know, the dog is right there. Dogs are there. They know when people are leaving, before they're leaving, and before they pack, even. I mean, you know, we've heard stories like that, and that's just the way it is. So the dog is in that transcendent knowingness and in the full compassion and a complete reflection. So if you are giving the treat too much and controlling too much, he's going to want more, the dog, you know.
That's going to
be a reflection of that, you have to do this to do that. You know, we're not up here, over here, just flowing. So whatever it is, the beauty of this is that your consciousness and awareness and heart, open-heartedness and compassion and communication in the energy is being reflected exactly by the dog. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I met this veterinarian. He taught hundreds of thousands of people. He was a leader in a program, a consciousness program. And one of the things he said to me was, the dog always acts out what you want anyway. So he says, when people come in and this woman say, oh, the dog's so rude, and people come, it jumps up and it sniffs your crotch. And he said to her, he says, well, do you like the people at the party that he's doing them? She says, no, I can't stand him. He goes, exactly. The dog is following your lead. Pay attention to it. Don't pretend the dog's doing one thing. You guys are tuned into each other. So I love how you expressed it, Janet, because there's this connection that we sort of deny, and then we become impositional, and then we wonder why the back doors, dogs bite people. These dogs have been people over the last 20 years. They've never been before. So the question is, if you're really in harmony, the dog doesn't have this other back door where it's got to express this sort of suppressed aspect, which comes from conventional training. I just said it. All right, Jen, I know you got to get back. I deeply, deeply love and appreciate you. Give out your website.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hot Yoga Princeville, PrinceVille.com is the yoga studio here on Kauai where we hold retreats. We have all kinds of healing yoga, healing. A beautiful thing. So when you're coming to
I'm coming to the island, and we're going to do our vibrant retreats, and I deeply appreciate you, and I want to welcome. By the way, next week you've got to come on and meet Dr. Gloria, who does the remote healing. She's going to be with us any second. Thank you, Janet. I love your comment. I love your feedback around what Sherry said.
Thank you, Sherry. That was nice wonderful. Too. And Lisa, aloha.
Aloha.
Bye. Aloha. Aloha.
All right, we're going to – thank you, Chris. Thank you. I want to welcome Dr. Gloria, and I want to say we're going to do one more thing. Welcome, Gloria.
Thank you.
Welcome. You've been you've been such a guide. You've been so – I have a new family member in you. I'm very happy to have you as a family member, so welcome. Yeah, no, it's been profound. I promise Sherry one more thing. I just want to have Sherry – if it's okay with you, I just want to have Sherry share a couple of thoughts before we get into. So we're going to get into long distance and remote healing. But what I want to say about this topic is it's so much beyond just the healing event itself, it's really, it's actually feeling that the universe is alive and people, they live in this mystical state that we often don't pay attention to. So long distance and remote healing, which Dr. Gloria has been doing for 50 years, she's been deep working with, I've been working with her, seems like forever. But, you know, what I do during the week when I'm not doing this format, I'm actually talking to people around the world who I consider the real deal, the vibrant mastery people that I'm so excited to share with you. And that's part of our Vibrant Living Challenge, is to really be in this challenge, which you'll hear more about. But because it's a challenge going beyond our linear mind, right? It's a challenge. So, Dr. Gloria, I just want to have Sherry share a couple of thoughts about food, because we didn't get to do that. And I just want her to at least give people some recommendations, and I want to dive right into our segment on not just the remote healing, but how to actually come alive to a place in you that's receptive to healing beyond your regular mind. So we're going to get into that today. So, Sherry, go ahead and share your thoughts, just a couple of thoughts about food, only because we said people we're going to get into. What's some things you want to leave people about dog food that you think will help the dog be healthier and more in tune?
I work with all the kinds of different dogs and breeds and everything like that. And I've been training for 18 years. And one thing that I have noticed is light colored dogs or white dogs, they actually have more sensitivities or more allergies than other dogs, or than the darker fur or darker colored dogs. So anytime that a dog is having some allergies and they're itching a lot, or if they go to the bathroom and they're having loose stool, or they're having four or five different bowel movements throughout the day, then it's food related. So, for example, the blue buffalo is a great food. I mean, like, you know, it's a great organic food. There's no fillers. There's no corn or anything like that. It's organic. The only problem is there's so many ingredients. There's so many proteins. Okay. There's fruits. There's vegetables. There's spirulina. There's algae. There's eggs. There's so many things that are included into the food that it causes too much too many sensitivities or too many allergies or just loose stool in general.
What's your recommendation for people who are going to buy dog food today? Is there something simple you want to leave them with? I love what you just said about the coloring. I thought that was really insightful, because a lot of people may not realize that. What's something you want to leave people would say about who are going to buy dog food today?
Well, the less ingredients that are in the food, okay. And if it's an all natural food with no corn or no fillers, it definitely helps the body more than others. If you go onto my website, then you go onto the services.
Go ahead, give out your website, Sherry. Go ahead.
Okay, smartpawsdogtraining.com. If you go onto the services page and scroll down, you'll see I'm a distributor for a company. It's called Pawtree, and they have customized nutrition plans for cats and dogs. So, and they have seasonings and everything. But I mean, like, it okay. Doesn't have as many ingredients as the blue buffalo. So,
right.
Food is extremely important for sure.
All right, we'll pick up on that again. That was a that's a significant topic. So,
yes,
Dr. Gloria.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I've always been, I've had some experiences that have put me in touch with being beyond the local mind. And what I mean by that is that I this part of my life, I could actually feel and sense things before they come to me physically. So actually how I met you is, because people say to me, how did you find me? And they ask me these outer questions, but really it's not the fact that I found them on the internet. Actually, I have recognition of who they are way before I get someplace. And this is an ongoing education. I do my best to do that. It's interesting because I find a lot of people ask me, I thought I'd ask you this, Gloria, they ask me what allows them to be receptive to a healing. So I thought that'd be an interesting question to ask you, is Because some people come to you, and my guess is they're very receptive, and some people. So what makes us, what allows for receptivity? So as an example, when you work with someone long distance, which they could be someplace physically different, and you send and also work with their energy system, what is it that you suggest, and people listening now, that gives us the receptivity to go beyond our belief so we could receive something we've never experienced before in the realm of healing or bigness of life?
Sure. Well, I like to keep it simple. So my thought is just show up. And I have to have agreement from my client. And if it's an animal, for instance, I want permission from the owner to work on the animal. But it's just a question of showing up, because I think this is quite mechanical in its own way. So I frequently look at structural imbalances, regardless of what the complaint is. If you have bunions or migraines or anything in between, it still has to do with the structure. And when I begin a remote healing, I tune in and generally do a drawing of what I'm seeing psychically, and then I get out of my own way and make little X's on the areas that need attention. I use a pendulum to move energy around. That is when I'm doing a drawing. When I'm not doing a drawing, I just send it where I believe it's needed. But to answer your question, just show up. Mm-hmm. And whether you have expectations or not, all you need to do is be available. And, you know, after we have our conversation, into it 5 or 10 minutes, if you feel we're not in contact, I certainly don't take it personally. It very seldom happens because I like to be engaging with people and be present for them. And most people appreciate that. I hope that answers the question.
It's good. It's good. So, Lisa or Sherry, do you have something that's bubbling for you around working with people long distance? A lot of people, they're in locations that it's hard to see someone, and also for a lot of people listening, it's a new awareness. It's a new practice to be able to receive something, what you could call long distance. For some people, they feel long distance is like being at home. The bridge of distance doesn't impact them. But Sherry, or at least anything that bubbles to you on based on what Dr. Gloria just said.
Well, I actually have a question for Sherry. Last week, for those of you who weren't tuned in, Dr. Gloria gifted Sherry with a beautiful session. And I know that the effects of the healing oftentimes continue long after the immediate session. Were there any distinctions or anything interesting that you noticed throughout the week or after the session, Sherry?
Sherry, you'll get to be the main star in a moment. Actually, yes. I asked Sherry that too, Lisa, funny enough, the other day. We'll continue with Vibrant Living here on our segment, Vibrant Dogs. By the way, we do have Vibrant Matchmaking. It's an upcoming program. And Beyond Dating to Relating, and I'm so excited to share that with you. Stay with us. Your life's precious. Enjoy it, along with Dr. Gloria, in a moment.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What is healing? What is distance? It allows us to bridge the gap. I'm talking to Dr. Gloria Kay, who's a remote or a distance healer, and she has helped many people around the world, including animals. And last week, as Lisa LaRose mentioned, that Sherry had a session. And so I actually asked the same thing of Sherry. If this session was still active, what did she notice since the session? So what did you notice since the session last week, Sherry?
I definitely felt looser within, because that was last Thursday, so Thursday, Friday, yeah. And Saturday. It's sore again. I mean, like, you know, it's, mm-hmm. But like, you know, definitely within the following few days, I definitely mm-hmm. felt the looseness. After the session, it definitely was loose and wasn't as painful as it was. And then I went swimming on Saturday, so possibly I I readjusted certain things, and you know the soreness came back. But I definitely felt looser for sure.
Well, Gloria, what would you say about treatment, time sequences, and share a little bit about short-term, long-term, like what – that. So as an example, Sherry had an opening, and then the pattern came back. What do you share with people around when they have
a
treatment?
I talk about re-educating the body. So when people mm-hmm. have a chronic issue, it's been with them for a while, and the body is used to that. And very frequently, I need to do a follow-up session. So you can have immediate relief, and then symptoms can start to return. They hardly ever return to square one, however. So that's something to consider. The other thing I wanted to mention, I don't Skype, and I don't do FaceTime, because I found that that's an interference with what I'm seeing psychically. So that's how I begin. I tune in and I actually get a visual picture of what's going on in the body. And then, as I said, most times I do a quick sketch of what I'm seeing. But I found that Skyping or FaceTime interferes with what I want to do. It's a distraction for me.
You know, it's so funny. Someone said this to me yesterday. It wasn't you. Someone was telling me the similar thing, that it's actually a medical doctor that I was talking to. He was saying he cannot pay attention to people when he's Skyping or using any high tech device. Very similar to what you just said.
Hmm. Well, there's two of us.
yeah, you and him. Yeah, no question. So then in the new German medicine, which Dr. Valerie Hunt, my teacher, kind of passed on to me. One of her big things was that to remove this these imprints or traumas, depending on what language you want to use, you need to find ways to release the thing. So as an example in Sherry's case, is there an imagery or something you would prescribe for her to help her with that process, or would it be a natural unfoldment of the session? In other words, would the imagery come to her?
No, I think a follow-up session would do it. And also, you know, as I said, symptoms very rarely go back to square one. And here's the other mm-hmm. interesting thing. So when mm-hmm. symptoms do reappear, it takes me very little time to get an individual pain-free. It's different than the initial session.
Okay. Well, do we have time to do another session with Sherry right now?
Well, I don't know. You're the timekeeper. You tell me.
That's true. That's true. I've been known in the mountains to be the timekeeper. Actually, I help people lose time. Is really my highest attribute. So, Cherry, you want to do a mini session right now?
Sure. That'll be fabulous.
Okay.
Okay. Open and ready.
That's great.
Now share with us. Go slow, Gloria, and share with the audience so they really get a sense of what's happening here.
I appreciated your input. I will tell you as clearly as I can what I'm seeing. Now, sometimes what I'm seeing actually interferes when I communicate that. So before I begin with you, Sherry,
please.
For instance, I can see a lot, and I won't tell a person what I'm seeing unless I know I can correct it. So, that might sound very arrogant, but that's the way it is for me. So I won't go there unless I'm really confident that I can make a correction. So in your case, I'm actually starting on your right hip because there's still a tweak, whether it happened from the swimming or life, or I don't know. But the hip is not as happy as it was when we finished the last healing. So I'm just in there now. So my process is I actually get an image. I can see what's going on. And as I'm sending, I can also see that that's correcting. So rather than have it tweaked, and sometimes I get a mirror image. Let me explain. Sometimes I get a mirror image, and not only will I get a mirror image, sometimes it's more appropriate to go to the side opposite of where the main complaint is. But I'm drawn to your right side for whatever reason, so that's where I am now. And I see that it's softening, so you want to know what it is that I'm seeing. So rather than to tweak, it's getting more aligned very slowly. It's almost as if their muscles and the tendons holding that hip bone in place are releasing. And I don't, now you can say I'm suggesting things, but I'm telling you what I'm seeing, okay? So it's not hypnosis, but this is what I'm seeing. So that definitely.
And I'm feeling the looseness. As she's saying it, I'm actually feeling the, it's like warmth. It's like a warmth and a, not tingles, but like.
Yeah. So with it, people can feel warm, a tingling, a numbness even, and sometimes they feel nothing, and it does, and it's still, it's still happening. So please refresh my memory. I know it was the hip. What else? Oh, and it was your SI joint on the right side also.
Yes, I'm in like the my lower back, my right hip, my behind my knee, my right knee, and then it goes down to my foot.
Okay. And I'm assuming that the symptoms, even though they reappear, they weren't as intense as they were before the first healing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. So, listeners, please take note of that. Your symptoms can return, but as I said, you hardly ever go back to square one, and it takes me much less time to make the correction the second time around. So let's see where we are. Okay, so I actually am on your SI joint on the right side.
Say something, Gloria, say something about that. For people listening, it's such a new concept. So you said, for instance, you're in there. What's that experience like? Like, give people a sense of, if they're a fly on the wall, like, does something shift in your body? Do you feel a connection? Like, what is that like the moment before you actually go inside to, in this case, Sherry's hip or the bone or the tissues or the cells? Do you have a feeling of click, I'm there?
Yeah, it begins with an awareness. So the awareness tells me where to go. And then when I direct energy to that spot and I can feel that the body or see that the body is accepting that, then I say, okay, there I am. That's when I might say that. So I believe, Sherry, I'm on your SI joint and that should be soft. which will go down the back of your leg, you know, and your knee. So, and thank you, Glenn. I'll keep talking.
Good.
So the energy is moving down. And again, you know, you could say, well, this is a power of suggestion, which is one of the reasons I don't go into great detail when I'm doing a healing, because it just works, you know, and I don't want it to appear to be any kind of hypnosis or power of any kind of suggestion. But I can see what's going on. So from your SI joint, the energy is slowly moving down your Achilles heel, down to your heel. And what I'm seeing is a softening in that area. So the path from your SI joint down to your heel is just softening and widening, actually. I don't know if you feel any heat there, but it's moving in a very positive way from that SI joint down to the heel. Now, it's going to address the back of your knee pain. However, right now I need to go to the front of your right thigh. Now, how would I know that? It's like a little birdie told me, go there. And I don't argue anymore, you know. So, and I can't even tell you why I'm going there. But I'm going mid-thigh on the right side. And actually, if you want to poke around, you'll probably find a little sensitivity mid-thigh. You can poke around and tell me if I'm right or wrong, or, you know, that's just where I'm going to go. Do you feel anything a little sensitive to your...
Mid-thigh and more to the right, to the outside of the leg instead of the inside.
Right. So that makes a little bit of sense. So now that I've identified that, I'm just going to direct some energy there. So I am directing energy. How do I know it's being received? I can almost see a change. So again, this whole thing is a very visual process for me. So I identify it visually, and then as the correction is being made, I can see the changes in the body, and that is softening now. Okay, so that little sensitivity should be gone now, and I think you're good to go, but check it out and let me know if you need any more attention.
Once I touched that on the mid leg, it kind of like shut up to the sciatic on the right side.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm going to just soften that area on your leg, and hopefully it will address the SI joint as well. So just give me a moment. So what I'm seeing is like a broader band on the thigh. So that whole area, it's almost like it's being massaged very gently. All right, so now it's traveling to your SI joint. How do I know? I can see a softening from the thigh moving up to the SI joint. Let's see if it's there yet. Yeah. All right, please tell me what's going on now.
I'm feeling the looseness, or the kind of like the, not necessarily tingles, but like it's almost like the stretching stretching or the loosening of the muscles.
Right. So I recommend after treatment that people act as if they're slugs, take it really easy, and definitely no deep tissue massage. No, don't do that. Because I believe the cellular work, so as I do my work, the cells stack up in a functional manner. If you get in there with deep tissue, for instance, or you do vigorous exercise, it's disturbing. It's disturbing to cells. You know, it changes it. But I just want them to stack up so that they are at their highest level of functioning.
Dr. Gloria, give out your website. For people interested in Dr. Gloria's work. She's been working for about 50 years helping people in, you know, beyond time, beyond space
beyond
and time.
That's beautiful.
Beyond time. Yeah. Thank you. What's your email? Yeah. Then we'll give it your email too, Sherry, in a moment.
Sure. Dr. Gloria, KAYE@AOL.com. And my website is just my name.
So one of the things I want to mention, go ahead, Gloria.
I wanted to say, if you're in a hurry, mm-hmm. When you get to my website, just look at the home page where there's a video and it tells all, from my work with basketball players to diabetes research to my medical students to, let me think what else is on that. I think there's even animal healing on it. It's all there in a succinct manner. So again, if you don't feel like perusing the whole thing, I don't blame you. And it's all there in the home page on the video.
Yeah, what I wanted to get into next time we get together is how this affects a person's life in terms of how they hold healing and time. Sherry, go ahead and give out your website. For those who want to learn more about educating your wonderful mystic dog without imposing, being impositional and getting in the way of the dog, you're flowing with the dog, you're connecting with the dog, contact the dog mystic, Sherry Marquez. Sherry, how can people be in touch with you?
Well, my email is Sherry@smartpawsdogtraining.com. C-H-E-R-I-E. Sherry@smartpawsdogtraining.com.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Gloria. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, guys. As we move the Vibrant Living Challenge forward. Thank you. Your life, press the joy. Thank you, Chris. We'll be with you next week and to expand our programming and continue the challenge. But it's a blessed challenge. It's a challenge of going beyond an illusionary limitation. I'm Glenn Brooks. Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.